I don't know about you, but I would be having a hard time going through this thing we call life without hope. And I think all of us here this evening and all of us in the world, we all need hope. Life can be hard. Sometimes we have to endure a bad day, and other times we face unrelenting heartache. Tina's friends just lost their father here not too long ago today.
This morning.
Yeah, so the joy of Christmas is not always joyous for everybody. But as long as we have hope, we can hang on to the things that are difficult for us to handle. Because as difficult as life can be, hope guides us and gets us through the storms of life. Take away hope, and even the small things will kind of creep in and crush us. So as we look at the big picture in our world, we see hopeless situations. The news regularly bombards us with stories of harmful or even evil situations that people have to endure. Abuse, divorce, murder, war, famine, rape, natural disasters, torment on lives, and even the COVID thing is really just, well, it's bombarded us. But there's hope. Hope for things that can change, things that will happen. And the COVID virus is not as bad as it was. We're making a lot of progress. But things in this world just kind of shred us at times. Beyond the unexpected disasters that make the news, we're wounded by the daily actions of others who never get headlines, but they hurt us deeply. And we begin to wonder, can God allow bad things to happen, even to good people? Is this how God intended all of us to live? Is this the kind of life that He created for us? Thankfully, the answer is no. The Bible tells us the true story of how God created us in our world, how we fell away from His original design, and what He did to heal our brokenness. It offers us hope because we discover that God is in the business of restoring us to His beautiful original intentions. That's why we celebrate the birth of Christ. God humbled Himself and came into this world as a little baby like you and I to bring us hope, to bring us to a point where when sin entered into the world, we can get back to a starting point. Because in the beginning, the first book of the Bible tells us that God, bless you, God created everything, plants, trees, birds, animals, you and me. God created the first man and the woman. We know them as Adam and Eve in His own image and declared all that was made in Genesis chapter 1. God said, it's very good. And look around. What happened? How did things go from very good to very bad? How did the relationship between God and His people get so messed up? The answer is one word that people don't like to talk about anymore, but it's a fact of life, and it's called sin. Sin in any action, thought, word, or deed that violates God's loving standard. Because God is the all-loving and all-knowing and all-good, we can say that sin is simply being not like God. We are created in the image of God. We have God's footprint under us. But God loved us so much that He wants us to freely choose to love and to follow Him. He don't force Himself upon us. It's a free will thing that we have. So God created humanity with the ability to choose not to love Him or to follow Him and to say that all that was done in the beginning. He gave Adam and Eve clear instructions about a simple matter of a tree to avoid. Now we don't know if it was an apple tree or any kind of tree, but we do know that it was the tree of life. But they let their pride override their desire to obey and crossing a boundary that God had set by choosing to disobey God. They traded His design of perfect community for death and separation from Him forever. Sin entered into their souls and it spread on to their descendants. You and I have that same spiritual disease. As we can see by the ongoing choices that disregard God's desire to lead and to direct us, our universal condition is that we no longer trust God. Instead, we live life on our own terms, hoping everything will turn out as we imagined it should be. Although God has stamped his image in us, sin distorts that image. It's like having a picture that's just out of focus. Our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions often go against God, who created us and how we should live. And it's because of sin that corrupts our desire to do the right thing. It's a broken condition. But where do we find hope? Because we all fall short of the glory of God, Scripture tells us, and the Bible makes it clear that everyone falls that short of that standard, that perfect image, including great people like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham. And no matter what list of rules we follow, including the Ten Commandments that God gave us, we keep missing the mark. And it seems the more we try to be good and do right, the more we fail. We can't meet God's standard or overcome the effect of the sin condition. But since the beginning, you know what the death rate is for humanity? It's 100%. Unless Jesus comes for us and he returns, we're all going to experience that thing called physical death. But if he comes back, as he promised, we might escape that. But if he don't, that's life. But you don't have to worry about being separated from God, because he provided a way. His son, Jesus Christ, came into the world to provide a way for us not to have eternal death, but eternal life. It's a gift of life. Adam and Eve didn't die instantly, but a spiritual death, a separation, if you would, from God, and did occur when they sinned. The delay between the spiritual death and the later physical death gives us hope. Hope. It means that we have been given a second chance. We have our lifetime to come to a new understanding and experience God. We visited with the family that we had got together a food package and everything for this past Christmas. And Travis and I was able to be here when they came back from the doctor, and the husband was in the car with her, and we were able to fellowship with them and give them the food box that you all participated in one way or the other, and also some cash. And I was holding his hand. Now, I called him John, but I think his name was Don. Is it Don or John? Doesn't matter.
Don?
Yeah. I was holding his hand and just had a prayer with him. It's a way that God has given us second chances in life. And he health-wise, he is not too good. He's got all kinds of health problems. And he was saying, well, I didn't think we were going to have a good Christmas, but thanks for the folks here at Bethel that we have hope again. Now, it won't change his health situation, but just to lift up that spirit, to be able to know that people care for him and willing to help him. And that's the way God is. God loves us so much that he couldn't just let us stay in that broken condition of a life of misery and frustration. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the only way to pay for it once and for all would be through the death of someone else. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, did that for us. So here we're thinking and celebrating his birth, and that's a good thing, but also to celebrate his life and how he was able to come to take the sins of the world upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to earth fully human and fully God. He experienced all the hardship and the suffering of the living, damaged world that we live in, because we live in a broken world, just like us, but he never sinned. This qualified Jesus to pay for all the wrongdoings of everyone throughout history. We talked a lot about that in the Apostles' Creed. Through his perfect life, through his death, and more importantly, his resurrection, God had demonstrated his grace and love to his creation. And we can't add to that perfect gift, but the sin debt has been paid completely. But we must be able to choose to bring our broken image, for lack of a better term, to the repair shop to be fixed. And not only did Jesus pay the price on behalf of all, he did it willingly. In Romans, it talks about the people that might be willing to lay down their lives for a good person. But it's highly unusual for someone to die for a scoundrel. Now, our sin condition kind of puts us into that category of being scoundrels, yet this is exactly what Jesus did on the cross for us. He died, not while we were very good, like we were a creation, but while we were very bad, like we all of us are right now. I, even though I'm a pastor and I believe and I come by faith and I hope, not only do I hope, I know in my heart of hearts all this is true, I sin every day. I don't know how many times a day I'll stop and say, oh, thanks to the Lord for forgiving me and helping me to have that new direction. Even though there's nothing we can do to earn God's love and save ourselves from sin and death, we have a choice. We can give into our pride, staying distant from God. This means that our sin will separate us from God forever, even into hell. Or we can choose to accept what Jesus has done for us and begin to live free from the consequences of this sin. This means we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. And we can rely on our own performance plan. Or we can trust Christ to do what we can't do for ourselves. That choice is ours. God's given us that choice. Does believing and trusting in Jesus really overturn the hopelessness that we experience in this world? What really happened when we discarded our self-improvement plan and instead gave control of our life to Christ? You and I can accept something as true, and it changes what you do. And accepting Christ means in him it's about your sin, asking for forgiveness and inviting him to be the new leader of your life. For your salvation means abandoning all attempts to earn his love and spending every day living in that love. Does it mean we'll be perfect? Absolutely not. Will we still sin? You betcha. Our old sin nature still exists in us? Yes, it does. But we also have the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we can infuse the Holy Spirit with our conscience. You know, now that sometimes we know that we're going the right way, or there's something within us that says, ooh, no, I don't think you better do that. The Holy Spirit. He helps us to grow in Christ and live a life that pleases God. And when we fail, he forgives and he helps us to start over again. That's the good news. It's all about what God has done in you and for you. Salvation is God's free gift to anyone who wants to receive it, regardless of how badly you're damaged. No matter how many awful choices you have made, even if you totally rejected God and never believed before now that Jesus paid the price, and can forgive. You know, we can't be forgiven unless we forgive. If God forgives us. So it's a time of the year when we're sharing gifts and sharing love with everybody. But let the world see Jesus inside each and every one of us. And to accept that gift or to reject it is simply up to us. This free gift of salvation is available to anyone, anytime. In fact, if you can take God up on his offer right now, just simply tell him in your own spirit. You can do it here, you can do it anywhere. Have that relationship with God. Talk to God. He wants to talk to you. He loves to talk to his creation. You know, you can pray silently, you can pray openly. I always tell people, and people say, hey, preacher, how about praying for me? Yeah, I'd love to pray for you, and I do. But you need to learn to pray for yourself. You need to be in that relationship with God. And you can simply say, oh, God, help me. And he will, if you open your spirit to his spirit. And you accept this free gift of forgiveness through Jesus' birth, through his life on this planet, showing us how to live life and how to live life without sinning, although none of them are capable except him. And then they put him on the cross. You know, there's two thieves on the cross beside Jesus, one on the left, one on the right. And you would think, oh, well, that's the end of that for them guys. But you know what? One thief said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other one refused. That moment, Jesus said to that thief on the cross, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So it doesn't matter when you come. It doesn't matter how old you are. No matter where you are in life. If you accept that free gift of salvation, you're locked in. Jesus will guide you, and you will be able to see, to know, and learn how to love. Back to what Don was saying after I had a prayer with him, and had tears in his eyes. He said, preacher, does your church have a ramp that I can come to your church in a wheelchair? Of course, we have one. I said, yeah. He said, I want to learn about this religious stuff. I want to learn. I said, Don, it's not about religion. There's many religions in the world. It's about developing your own personal relationship with God through Christ. That's really what it's all about. It's simple. So what's on your mind today and what's in your heart? God really don't care what words you use as long as you're being real and talking to him. And that comes down to this, these final points I want to share with you before we celebrate the gift of life. By lighting all these candles. You know, when you go in, if you've ever been to the caverns out at Mariana, then go on that tour, you'll see the stalactites and the stalagmite. And that guy will take you down to the bottom of that cavern, and he says, you want to experience darkness? And he turns his lights off in there. You talk about darkness. One single match will dispel all that darkness around you when you're down there in that cavern. And that's the way it is when Christ comes into your life. He is the light of the world. And salvation has nothing to do with us obeying those set rules, doing the right thing and good works, or feeling a certain way. Salvation simply comes by, yes, Jesus, I trust you. And that you accept his terms for salvation. You can trust that God will honor his agreement forever. And your salvation is secure, then the restoration process will begin in your life. And God will be faithful to complete it. Our hope rests on God's promise. But even though we experience pain, while we're in the process, and I can assure you most of us will, it's just we're in a broken world. While we're in that process, though, one day we'll be fully restored. And these experiences will be gone. He will never change the term of his agreement to finish the work that he began in you. But it starts with us. The end of the story is certain, and God will never stop loving us as it unfolds. There's no hope like the hope God offers to us through Christ. Whoever and whatever let you down in the past, the world the world's got all those kind of things, and we've all been disappointed. We've been all let down by people, or even people in the church. It doesn't mean the church is perfect, but as long as you have that personal relationship with Christ. You know, the building's important. It's a wonderful way to come and to encourage one another. But the cathedral sang a song that said simply, it's not what's over the door. We're proud to be United Methodists, but it's not what's over the door. It's what's in your heart that really and truly counts. His love is like no other. His forgiveness frees us to be all that he created us to be. His power is without limit, and your future with him is the best thing that can ever happen to you. So I challenge you to talk to God more often. Ask him to help you. Obtain that relationship with him through Christ. And make certain that wherever you're attending church or whoever you're fellowshipping with, good people, to be able to know that that love and hope that you receive from our newborn King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.